You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
And some fantastic action over the next 7 days or so.
Plenty to look forward to in the Yorkshire region for this next weekend or so. Then we go move on to the more pressing matter of Royal Ascot. But a big meeting at York over the next couple of days. Saturday's going to be our main focus for today's show.
Yeah, decent stuff on Friday, but then it's the charity day card, the day that is now known as Macmillan Macmillan Day at York. It used to be Timeform Charity Day, and it's something that, you know, to be quite honest, it's very close to my heart, been involved in it for a long time.
Alongside that, we've got the charity race, as well as we mentioned. I think one of the chaps from Love Island of last year's in the race. I don't know if you confess to know too much about that or
Love Island. No, I'm not. I'm an old git, Luke. You're more Love Island age than me.
I have to say, I
Chris Hughes.
Yes, that's the guy. I have to say, I wasn't a fan of it, and then the girlfriend forced me to watch the first two episodes,
Now
I don't hate it. I'm ashamed to say I don't hate it.
Anyway, he's worked incredibly hard.
Yes.
5 months he's prepared for this. They all the riders taking part have to guarantee a minimum of £3,000.
Mm-hmm.
They go through stringent preparation in conjunction with some BHA rules. So good luck to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk to Adam Ryan a little bit later on. Kevin Ryan, you'll have a runner in the chariot race. I think Mark Birch's daughter's taking a ride. Of course, we lost Mark not too long ago now, so it would be a race very much close to the heart of the Kevin Ryan team.
And when Mark retired, he went to work for Kevin. He was assistant at Kevin's for a long time, wasn't he? So they were very close.
Yeah, he was there for quite some time as well. But we also got the Queen Mother Cup for Lady Amateur Riders, as I think you mentioned earlier on. Serena Brotherton riding once again in the race.
Yes, she's riding Pacify. The Queen Mother's Cup was a race instituted by Timeform's Reg Griffin, and he actually got the trophy from the Queen Mother. Mm-hmm. Came from Clarence House, and Serena Brotherton rides Pacify, who runs in the colours of the Prince of Wales, and she's a remarkable lady, really. She had her first ever winner as an amateur in this race on Flower Canny in 1999, Luke. I mean, what a way to start your amateur career. She's had more than 100, I think it's 109 winners since. Mm-hmm. And she's won this race 3 times, and she's riding in it for the 17th time on Saturday.
Taking the ride on Pacify, who once upon a time was a pretty useful handicapper, wasn't he? Raith Beckett teaming up with Serena Brotherton.
Yeah, he ran last on Derby Day. He finished 6th. Jury's out on whether he stayed the trip. It's a mile and a half again on Saturday. They usually go lickety-split in this race. There's some old favourites in it. It's a really competitive renewal. But Serena should get another good spin out of him anyway.
Yeah, and also on the card at York, we mentioned the 6-furlong sprint, which is, I think I described it as a minefield earlier on to you. Said I could back about 10 horses in the race. That's the 3:35. We'll talk more at length about it later on. But as far as wide open goes, this is the definition of it.
Yeah, it's a race for progressive horses. Quite often you get horses that go on to be top class. We've had a handful of them over the years. And with a maximum field, you've got to do a bit of homework to try and solve that puzzle.
Yes, we'll get onto that a little bit later on. Also, good cards at Sandown at the weekend. Chester, also not too far from us, hosting a 7-race card. As promised, though, we do have Adam Ryan to catch up with. 8 runners for the Kevin Ryan team at the weekend at York. Also, Royal Ascot we'll get to a little bit later on. But first, let's hear about the 8 at York. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Adam Ryan, assistant trainer to Kevin Ryan, on the phone right now, gearing up towards Royal Ascot, but a busy weekend at York ahead of us. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Looking forward to York once again and getting ready for Royal Ascot this year.
I was going to say, for York, you got 8 runners at the weekend, so keep him busy anyway ahead of Ascot.
Yeah, you know, William Darby puts on a great fixture time in, time out at York, and the owners love it, obviously. It's a big local meeting for us, so we always like to support it.
As a Royal Ascot, are you heading down there?
We will be, yeah. We look to have only a very small team, but, you know, two or three nice opportunities, so we'll be down there for a few days.
We'll get to Royal Ascot in due course. We have got the small factor of eight runners at York at the weekend, though. But we're going to start with the charity race, a race that's quite close to the Kevin Ryan Yard's heart.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, there a couple of years ago, we lost Matt Birch, who was a very influential figure in our yard. He was with us from the day we set up. You know, I grew up knowing Mark, and his daughter has taken the challenge of riding the charity race there on Saturday and hopefully bring the spirit of Archie down the Naseby.
And we hope it's a winning effort. That's Tagur that runs in the charity race for you guys. What's the race in aid of and a little bit about the race?
Well, obviously, they do it every year. It's McMillan, obviously, a great cause in the support and the fight against cancer. So, obviously, that's very close to us and to Mark's daughter, Jill, who is aiming to raise £10 for every winner that Mark rode throughout his career, which was 1,339 winners. So she's doing very well towards that target. She's been working very hard, and we'll be keen to support her and the race, and hopefully it's a fitting tribute to her dad.
We wish all runners and riders the best of luck in the charity race. But on to more pressing matters, so to speak. We've got our Mandahan running in the Queen Mother's Cup for lady amateur riders. Harriet Lee's taking the ride.
Yeah, Harriet, she's been working for us now for a couple of years, and she's very dedicated to the job. She's always in there with a smile on her face, and it's great to give people like that an opportunity to go and ride at a Grade 1 track. She's had a couple of winners this year, and she does everything you ask her to do, and it's proved that she's improving with each ride she takes, and hopefully she'll get a good spin there on Saturday.
Could he be the right sort of horse for the race, Amanda Ham?
I think so, yeah. He's a very straightforward horse. I thought he made a very good comeback there at York at the Dante meeting. You know, probably just needed the run. A little bit disappointed with the result last time at Redcar, but I think that was most due to the tactical nature of the race. You know, they went quite steady and turned into a bit of a sprint, so he could never really get into it. So hopefully they go a good clip in these type of races. Let him jump and travel, and hopefully he'll be there and thereabouts come the finish.
That's Amanda Han in the 150, the Queen Mother's Cup. Lualiwa is next in the afternoon, the 225. It's a bit of a standing dish in races like this now.
Yeah, you know, he made great strides last year. And then once we threw him at the deep end, he proved that he was well capable in that type of event. Obviously, he won very cosily there at Musselburgh, and you know, set his season right up for a crack at these type of races. Unfortunately, the ground's just been a bit on the quick side the last couple of runs, but it might not be ideal there on Saturday, but you know, he's well in himself, and he always gives 110%. He's a very genuine horse.
As if the yard haven't been busy enough for already on the afternoon, we then saddle three in the 3:35, which is an ultra-competitive sprint, but you would think that all three would have chances.
Yeah, you know, there are three of really nice three-year-olds. The only thing is there's a couple of questions probably about the trip for them. I mean, we'll start with Commander Han. He was he made a great comeback this year when he won very comfortably at Chelmsford, and showed that he's really strengthened up over the winter. He's a horse we've always really liked. You know, but last time just got a feeling he ran very keen at York, and Kevin Stott jumped off, and he just felt that, you know, he might just be getting quicker and stronger with racing. So, you know, it's a first try over this trip for him, but he's shaped as though he might just appreciate it.
And Queen Sergeant coming from the same race as Commander Han last time around, actually beat Commander Han.
He did, yeah. He's a very, very game horse. You know, you're always going to get a run from him. I think he finished his race off last time very well. I think he's probably one of these horses that's maybe... I think he's going to be very adaptable over 6 and 7 furlongs, you know. I think the thing with him is a little bit more juice in the ground would be ideal for him. But, you know, he always runs with his heart on his sleeve, and he'll always give 110, so he's that ideal type for these races.
And then last but not least of the three, you've got Savalas, who's been in absolutely fantastic form so far this season.
He has, you know. He was a horse we really liked as a two-year-old, and he just didn't quite live up to expectations last year. But once he had a winter on his back, he's grown and he's strengthened, and I mean, his form's been top-notch. I mean, obviously, all his wins have been over 5 furlongs, but last time out, they went very hard at Hamilton, and he finished powerfully up the hill. So, you know, you do get the feeling that he could stay the six, and if he's going to stay anywhere, then York's as good a place as any, because obviously it's on the sharp side. So he's in good order, and if he stays the trip, he's going to be in there with a big show.
That's Commander Hand, Queen Sergeant, and Savalas in the 3:35. We spoke briefly about nice two-year-olds. Rathbone is up next in the 4:40, and one that made an encouraging debut last time.
Yeah, you know, he made a cracking debut there, finishing first over course and distance. You know, I think he was a little bit unfortunate, actually. He just got carried across the track, but I mean, you know, these two-year-olds, they're immature and inexperienced, so he got a nice introduction, and you know, we'd always like to see our two-year-olds improve from the first to the second run. So with that natural progression, he should have a nice run again.
Has he improved at home, Rathbone?
Yeah, I mean, it's a case of keeping them ticking over, you know. I think the one thing that stands him in good stead is that he's been to York, he's seen the preliminaries, he's done the long walk over from the stable yard, which is a big thing at York. You know, it can take some of these horses by surprise, these juveniles, when they see it for the first time. So, I mean, that's definitely a positive for him.
That's Rathbone in the 4:40. Another one in the Pete and Angie Bailey colours. Just to round off the afternoon, we go from an inexperienced horse to a horse that we know plenty about in Dear Old Bogart.
Yeah, you know, he's a yard legend. You know, he always turns up at York. He's a bit of a fan favourite there, I think. So, listen, he's a little bit unfortunate last year not to get his head in front. You know, he's a couple of good placed efforts where he just bumped into one, which is a bit of a shame. But it's obviously time's catching up with him now, but he's as well as ever. You know, he's losing that pace for 5 furlongs on these really sharp tracks. So, you know, hopefully the 6 furlongs should help him out. And listen, he loves the place, so hopefully he can put up another bold performance.
I imagine the next question you're going to hate: of all eight on the day, what would be your best chance for a winner? I apologise to put you on the spot.
No, I kind of guess I'd be coming. I'd say you'd probably, I mean, on the face of the race, probably the two-year-old Rathbone. You know, the natural progression that our two-year-olds have would take a lot of beating if he takes that form forward. But I mean, we're very lucky that we've got a good team going there, and they should all be in.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Jim McGrath, yes. Bobby Beavers, no. The newly married Bobby Beavers as well, Jim McGrath. We feel apologies to his old fiance, now wife.
Yes, she's now got 3 children to look after, hasn't she? She's got Riley and Sophia and Bobby.
It's too late now to back out. We heard Adam Ryan there talking about all 8 runners at York. We'll talk about the 3:35, the sprint, very shortly. But he mentioned Rathbone there, who made a very pleasing debut at York last time around. There was a bit of a word going around for him as well. And I think Rathbone's one of your better bets of the weekend.
Yeah, he's definitely very interesting, Luke. I mean, he's reasonably obvious. But I think it's a maiden where not only do I think he's got the best public form on offer, he looks with one of his rivals, Pink Flamingo, trained by Mark Johnson and ridden by Ryan Moore, to have something to make a market with. But why I like Rathbone is he ran in a race that I think is pretty decent form. A handful of them have run since, and whilst, you know, you can't say anything's particularly set the world alight. For example, Dukes of Hazzard was second to one of the Queen Mary favourites at Windsor next time. He was just behind him. The likes of Leloub of Richard Hannans, who bombed out completely on the day, has run an astonishingly good race since to be placed. So I think that was a decent race he ran in first time at York. Goes a furlong further, which should be right up his alley. Goes on fast ground from what we know so far. And if he puts it all together, I think he'll win.
Yeah, Rathbone looking to get off the mark at the second time of asking. He runs in the colours of Pete and Angie Bailey, as we mentioned in the interview. Savalas also does in a 3:35 at York. We've heard about the three Kevin Ryan horses there, Savalas, Command Hand, and also Queen Sergeant, but this is a fiendishly tough race.
Yeah, five of these actually won last time out, and Savalas is one of those. I mean, the worry for me from a form perspective, it's interesting to hear what Adam said, he's not so worried about the trip, is so far his best form is at five, but we are at a developmental stage of a career, some of these sprinters. It's more the ground. So far, most of his best form has been with some give, and although York got 12 millimetres on Monday night, I think it was, or Tuesday morning, I still can't see the ground being anything other than not lightning quick, but reasonably quick. And there are others here with form on it. Richard Fahey runs four. Gabriel the Saint is...
It's almost one-upping, isn't it? If Kevin Ryan runs three, I'm going to run four.
Well, actually, the North are very well represented here, and it's 100 grand in total prize fund. So it's no wonder that owners want to run in it. Gabriel the Saint looks the pick of his four to me. He's gone up £19 for winning two handicaps. He was very impressive at Leicester last time. He's drawn lowish. I don't know that at the moment that I think that one side or another is going to be particularly favoured, but he's a horse that we still probably got to see the best of, and he must have a big chance.
There'd be plenty that would fall under that as well.
Well, go on, then you tell me what you like.
Am I allowed two if there are big prices?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have two as well. You tell me.
Right. Okay. Green Power is one that I've had on my side for a long time.
Why?
It's mostly been waiting for a drop to 5 furlongs, which happened last time out, and he blew the start, finishing a very good fourth by Main Desire. We heard we'll hear about Hey Jonesy running in the Commonwealth Cup, who was second in that race from Adam Ryan a bit later on,
right,
for Royal Ascot. But that was a very good race. He's gone up £4 in a handicap for it, and so he should. It was a listed race, back into a handicap now. If he's ridden with a bit more patience by Ben Curtis, I think that'll give him every single chance to get 6 furlongs, and he'd be worth a chance in a race like this. And I was saying to you earlier on, I thought Angels at the moment is around 20-1, I think, best price, is a ludicrous price. Is a disappointment last time around, but that was a day that on the far rail at Carlisle, if you were there, you were not winning at all. That
so you definitely forgive the horse for that?
Yeah, I forgive one bad run. I mean, the two efforts beforehand, they were in lesser races. I mean, the Ripon race where she won her maiden, she beat Hula Girl, who I think runs this weekend at Ripon once again, I think it is. But that looks like decent enough form. Won impressively at Pontefract, albeit when 1-3, so was entitled to win exactly as she did. And then went into a handicap last time. I still think a mark of 85 is relatively well treated. And going into her latest run, she was almost a tad unfortunate not to be 3 from 3.
Well, she ran Carlisle, a race you sort of told us a little bit about. But the horse that won the race that day, Foxtrot Lady, you think, I mean, she's a progressive sort as well, isn't she? You don't think there was, you're sort of implying that maybe it was an element of a fluke about that?
Not a fluke per se. I think she was on the best part of the track, Foxtrot Lady,
right,
in a sense that Andrew Boarding's charge was out towards the centre of the track. Jason Watson's on board for this week and was on board the other day, but has gone up £7 the handicap, which in sprint terms, it's going to be tough enough for Foxtrot Lady. And I also don't think Angels ran her race at all, as you mentioned. Was on the wrong part of the track, but I don't think ran to the best of her ability that day. But either, it is backing up relatively quickly, the both of them really, but 8 days off the track. But I'd rather take Angels at 20-1 than Foxtrot Lady at
five, six to one. What about my second choice would be Citron Major.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about him? Bolted up at Ripon last time in what time form? Say it was a fast time relative to the quality of race by 5 lengths. Has been hit accordingly by the handicapper. But he does look a progressive sort. And, you know, he's running some fair maidens prior to sort of hitting handicaps. And I still think, despite his rise, he could be well treated. Just throw in one more, if I may. I know I said I was only having two. I wouldn't be stunned if Beshaïr won as well. She's a well-bred filly. Was in the Guineas at the start of the season. Still has pattern entries. Bombed out when you were, I think you were working the day she ran at Musselburgh last time. I'd forgive her that.
Yeah, I would as well. It wasn't a clear passage. I mean, it was a typical Musselburgh race, really. The front runner, Pepita, was always near enough on the pace, and she just got away from the rest of them. Beshaïr was having a nightmare passage in behind and plugged on for fifth. We'll have to up her game, but as you mentioned earlier on off air, did beat Foxtrot Lady in the past.
Last year she did, yeah, and she gets weight off her this time. So there's plenty of threads for punters to unravel. As one generalisation, though, Luke, I always take the view, rightly or wrongly, and when conditions change, it may be not so relevant. you've got to have sprinters in form at this time of the year. I don't like chancing horses that, you know, were good horses last year and have been out of form this time around. I think usually the progressive sorts, horses at the top of the game, are the ones to be with. So I'll go for Gabriel LeSaint and I will save my money on Citroen Major.
I'll take chances with Green Power and also Angels. I have to say, the one horse we did agree with that we could see running a big race was Zap a bit earlier on.
Zap's got blinkers on for the first time.
And we don't often agree.
We don't often agree. This is a horse that last year I saw him three or four times early on. He really wanted to be a stallion. He didn't want to be a racehorse. He demonstrated to everybody that he was a big masculine male. Well, he ain't anymore because he had an operation during the winter and he ran really well over 7 furlongs at York first time, and things just didn't happen for him last time. He's got blinkers on. He could reach a place, yeah.
From the sprinters, we head to the stayers now. Best luck, whatever you back in that sprint race. You could back anything and they'd have a bit of a chance in it. But the Grand Cup Stakes is the 3 o'clock over, just shy of 1 mile and 6 furlongs now with the remeasured distances. But 8 go to post, and it's a good 8 as well, headed by, at the moment anyway, Marmello, who ran in last year's Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, he's a smart horse, Marmello. He's got a good level of form, made a good reappearance behind a top stayer in Vazirabad. You did use the word at the moment. I suppose if it was really fast, Luke, he might not take part, but he's a good horse, and if conditions are right for him, Ryan Moore's being booked. It's hard, in my opinion, it's hard to see him being beaten if his conditions are right. Weekender's in there. That's the reason Frankie Dettori's coming up. He got a Gold Cup entry prior to winning at Chelmsford on his reappearance, and then last time we saw him at Sandown he was very free and in the end well beaten.
Yeah, Magic Circle would have beaten most horses that night, I think.
Yeah, fair point.
He was just on top of his game, and Magic Circle would be a player wherever he goes next, whether he goes to the Gold Cup or not, I'm not sure. But at Weekender, he had to do a donkey workout in front, didn't he? Which, whether that played to his strengths, I'm not sure. He did that lead at Chelmsford, but that was through virtue of being the best horse in the race and nothing else would go on. But in a race like this, he should get a lead from the likes of Time to Study, maybe Algometer if he goes forward as well. But I think this race will suit him a lot more than we've seen so far this season.
Right, okay. So if I gave you a tenner, where would it go?
I do love Marmello. I'm a big fan of his. But if it were to be a tenner and no more than that...
You're not getting any more than that.
I'd have a 5 each when Duke of Bronte, who is a horse I really liked at the start of the season. And he won at Chelmsford when I didn't back him. Then he got well beaten at Newmarket when I did back him. So
all right,
there's a trend developing there. But it was a decent effort and a much better effort at Goodwood last time around. That was by Mirage Dancer. He matched him for a large portion of the race. But I think he's ready to take the jump up in class into a race like this.
So 5 replay for you. I hope the 8 runners stay in at the minute.
So do
as
I.
At the minute.
Wouldn't mind if he wins it, though.
Sorry?
I wouldn't mind if he wins it.
No, okay.
Who would you be with?
If Marmello runs and Huey Morrison's fastidious about ground, it's because he thinks the ground's all right. If he runs, he'll win.
Anything else you want to mention for the Saturday?
Well, for Saturday, my main tip would be Rathbone at York. Well, my main tip at York would be Rathbone. And I like Dark Pearl in the 5:35 at Sandown of Ed Walker's. Had the worst of the draw at Chester last time, ran well to finish 5th. Was competing in the likes of Melrose's last year, that sort of level. And I think he's in a rank race at Sandown on Saturday. Be disappointed if he didn't win.
Yeah, Dark Pearl in the 5:35 with Pat Cosgrave on board. We'll round up our selections a little bit later on, but until we next talk to you anyway, we'll have Royal Ascot happening next week. We'll get the thoughts now of Adam Ryan with the Kevin Ryan Royal Ascot Runners. That's the 8 runners at York. And very quickly before we let you go, just rattle through the Royal Ascot Runners next week. Potentially 4 runners. Secret Venture in the Norfolk or Windsor Castle, I think's the aim.
Yeah, I think the key with him is we just don't want to take any chance with the ground. So ideally, a little bit of rain. I know Ascot always puts on fantastic ground, especially for this meeting. So, but you know, we wouldn't want to run anything too quick. This is a lovely horse. We've always thought a lot of him. You know, I think he won with a bit in hand there at Leicester. You know, James Spencer was very easy on him. It was a hands and heels ride, a lovely introduction. All he's going to do is improve, so you know, it's a big stage for him, but you know, he's the right type of horse and he's got a great mentality, a great mind on him, so the occasion shouldn't faze him.
Of the three-year-olds, then we step up with the Commonwealth Cup. But hey, Jonesy, a horse who has almost been unlucky not to get a win on the board this season.
Yeah, I think it was a shade unlucky last year as well with draws and the way races ran panned out for him. Obviously, we had to try him over the 7 furlongs in case he stayed for the Guineas trip. That didn't work out, so you know he was quite limited with the races over the sprint distances. So obviously, we took a crack, dropping down to 5 for the first time. I thought he ran a cracking race. He was beat by a very good horse that day, but over a trip probably a furlong too short for him. So I know he's probably going into the race under the radar a little bit, but you know, he's fit, he's well, he's a talented individual, and you know, he deserves to take his chance.
That's Hey Jonesy in the Commonwealth Cup, and a race that you went so close to winning a couple of years ago with Brando. You've got Tommy Taylor and Major Jumbo in. How are they?
Yeah, they're both in cracking order. You know, Major Jumbo has been a shade unlucky to be getting placed in the last three runs. You know, not to turn one of them into a win. I think the thing is, just sort of he shaped the last few runs that he might appreciate the step up to 6. So, I mean, it's quite quick to come after the muscle race, but he takes his racing very well, and there's a good possibility he could take his chance down there.
Tommy Taylor and Major Jumbo in the Wokingham. Adam, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck at York on Saturday, and more so, best of luck at Royal Ascot next week.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yeah, thanks to Adam Ryan then for running us through, firstly, his father's runners at York at the weekend, and then Royal Ascot. We not too many Royal Ascot runners for the Ryan team next week, a maximum of 4, but I'm hoping, personally, Hey Jonesy runs a big race in the Commonwealth Cup, but not without chances.
No, as he said, they all have theoretical chances. I mean, you need an Ascot. I mean, Frankie Dettori calls it the Olympics of racing. Mm. I can see what he's going, but virtually every field now, Luke, at Royal Ascot is a sizable field, very competitive. So you need luck, particularly on the straight course with draws, etc., etc. So Major Jumbo is a sprinter that's been running well all season. There's no logical reason why he shouldn't run well in the Woking. Whether he's good enough to win's another matter. Hey Jonesy, I think, has got to step up on form, as you just said to me when Adam was talking. You fancy him at a big price to run well. I just think if he couldn't win the listed at York last time, can he win a Group 1 at Ascot? And you turn around and say, well, it was a good listed race at York. Yeah. And that's fair comment.
I think 6 furlongs will suit him a bit more than 5 would as well. But I think he's just a very talented horse.
Right, okay.
I hope anyway. I hope I'm right in that regard. Talking of talented horses, plenty of them on show on day one that we have actually got entries through now, the 5-day stage anyway, where we kick things off, as we always do, with the Queen Anne. We saw Franco, a devastating winner of it a few years ago, but Rhododendron for Aidan O'Brien, the Lockinge winner, heading the market for the anti-post side of things anyway. You would think that Rhododendron will be going off favourite for this as well?
Yes, she's also had an entry confirmed today, so what we call the 5-day stage. Why they call it the 5-day stage in racing, I don't know, because it's 6 days they make the entry at. She's also been declared for the Fillies Group 2 on the second day, but as you rightly said to me, I mean, having won a Group 1 last time, it would be a big surprise if she carried a penalty in a Group 2. So you think she's going to run here. I think a bit of value against her, not outrageous value, but Ben Battle at 5/6-1 is a big price for a horse. He's had a great season in Dubai. Now, without sort of stirring anything up, sometimes horses that run well in Dubai and trained in Dubai don't translate back home. But why I'm not worried about that with this horse is that he was a good horse before he went to Dubai. He was a good horse last year in the spring, and you rightly pointed out he had such a busy time before he ran here last year. His form last time out in Dubai, I think, is very good. He beat 2 Japanese horses. What do I know about Japanese form? Not that much. But the horse that he beat in Dubai, Vivlos, she'd won the same race in Dubai the year before, and the third horse was Real Steel, who was actually 5th in a Japan Cup at one time. He'd won the same race the year before, so they're good horses, and he slaughtered them. So he comes here at the top of his game, loves the ground, big chance.
Yeah, one of the toughest horses in training, I think, Ben Battle. One horse I will put up a word for, but not saying he's going to go and necessarily win it, but we've got American presence in so many races at Royal Ascot now. Yeah. Bill Mott sends over Yoshida, who is one of the top American turf horses, actually beat
Beach Patrol last time around, who is a very good turf horse over in America. That was on softer ground as well. I'm not saying Yoshida's going to go and win the Queen Anne, but I don't think it's a vintage Queen Anne. I'll say that much. So I don't think it would take the most winning in the world as far as Group 1s go.
No, I think that's a fair comment. I think it's a relatively open race. And Rhododendron won the Lockinge, where the first four all... No, the first two were 2.5 lengths clear of the remainder, but they were largely bunched up. And although Charlie Hills's horse didn't actually let the form down at Haydock last week, he was fourth in that. He didn't really frank it and make you think. You'd have thought if that had been a really strong Lockinge, he'd have gone and won that, and he didn't. So I take your point. I don't think it's a strong race, and I think she's pretty short of 5-2, and I'd rather back this at 5-1.
The potential strongest race of the first day is the King's Stand, where it's a battle that we've been looking forward to for so long, and it looks to finally be happening once again at Ascot when they're both meeting on their own terms. Lady Aurelia against Batash is, of course, the two I talk about. The last time they did meet, Lady Aurelia was beaten but still was ahead of Batash.
Yeah, you came out with some very strong opinions on this, Mr. Elder, I thought earlier. So take us through your Batash theory.
I just want to say, first and foremost, I love Batash. He's one of my favourite horses in training, but I just don't think Ascot 5 furlongs is... for him, unless he learns to really settle. He was very unimpressive last time around at Haydock. I forgive him that. He did have a breathing operation, albeit I'm not sure how much that was necessary from his exploits from last year. Of course, back end of last year at Shanty, he won the Abbey, which was a decent enough race, beat Marsha by 4 lengths. But I just don't know about him against a horse like Lady Aurelia in a King's Stand at Royal Ascot. I'm not sure that this is his bread and butter, so to speak.
I don't agree with your reasons, because I think think he might struggle to stay. This it's a stiff five at Ascot.
Yeah, I don't think he'll struggle to stay. More others might stay better than him.
Right, okay. My worry about him is he's feisty, and he boiled over before York, and York is a testing exam of a horse beforehand, because you have the preliminary to Adam Ryan's just been talking about, where the horses walk across to the noise. At Ascot, the pre-parade ring, you know, is quite an ordeal for horses. By the time they get in the parade ring, a lot of them are jigged. Charlie Hills has already said how he's going to play. He's going to have him in the far box, go down early, etc, etc. So there is a worry from that respect. But in terms of form, I think he's better than these. I think he's better than Lady Aurelia. She didn't make that good a reappearance to me. Do you think of that?
Well, as I said to you off air that last year she didn't exactly set the world alight at Kingland on her first start back, and then she came to Royal Ascot. Johnny Velazquez was on board, and she absolutely bolted up in the King's Stand. She was a very impressive winner, and outside of Batash, you could argue that was possibly a better King's Stand. I mean, we've got a few of the same names turning up, the likes of Muthmir. Blue Point's been added into the race this season, which would be an intriguing part of the race. But Johnny Velazquez once again on board. I just think if Lady Aurelia from last year turns up, she's going to take a heck of a lot of beating.
And just for listeners who into ratings now, in terms of the field, Luke, Batash at 1-2-3 and Lady Aurelia at 1-2-2, and she gets £3 from Batash. They are miles clear of the others in terms of BHA figures, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They are by some way the best horses in the field.
I think Blue Point is the next one in at 1-15.
1-15.
So they're a long way off, but it's Royal Ascot.
So we're on opposite sides of the fence here. You're going for Lady Aurelia, is that fair?
I think Lady Aurelia is the most likely winner. I will give a good word for Finsbury Square. I think he's a fantastic each way bet. He was a very good sprinter in France a few years ago. But
right.
At the moment, he's a big price, around 25-1. Also, he bolted up last time out on a first start for a new yard. I think if that's revitalised him, then he could be the one that runs a big race at a very big price.
Okay, well, good luck with him.
And your Batash.
I'm not saying I'm going to sit here and tell everyone that my money's on Batash, but I wouldn't oppose him either.
That's very much sitting on the fence.
Well, I'm actually down there, so I can see how he behaves.
Okay.
So if he behaves all right, then I may well back him.
Very nice. We've got plenty of Group 1 races on day one. A quick word on the St. James's Palace. Without parole, unimpressive at Sandown last time around, but... again, we were downbeat on the Queen Anne. I don't think this is a vintage St. James's Palace, but we have been spoiled in recent years.
Yeah, it is, you know, it's still interesting, though. I mean, we have got classic winner in Romanised. I'd just be worried if it was really fast at Ascot, because I don't think he coped with really fast ground here last year in the Coventry. It was a little bit disappointing. Just because without Parole, you're right, he wasn't that impressive last time, and he is short, but it doesn't mean he won't win. He's a lightly raced horse. I'd stick with Tip to Win. He ran a good race in the Guineas. He's a bigger price than he should be, but it's a competitive race, this. I don't have a really strong view.
Yeah, I think I'd be tentatively siding with Tip to Win. His form is just rock solid, isn't it? Behind Saxon Warrior in the 2000 Guineas, Massar's come out and won the Derby from that. I think if he was trained by anyone else, I think Tip to Win would be the favourite.
Yeah, he'd certainly be shorter than the odds that he's been trading at this week.
Yeah, I think you wanted to mention one in the Wolferton as well, which now isn't a handicap. That's the final race on day one.
Yeah, the final race on day one. I do like the chances of Mirage Dancer. Progressive horse, largely last year. Disappointed on his final start at Goodwood. Ran well in the Hampton Court last year. Has made a good start to this season. Has the option of the Hardwick, but the fact that he's been declared at the five-day stage here, to me, looks significant. If he takes his chance for Sir Michael Stout, he's 6-7-1. I think he's got a good shout in that.
And anything else you're looking forward to seeing at Royal Ascot?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not quite certain of field makeups. We have got entries for Wednesday, as you said, Luke. If Mildenberger runs in the Queen's Vase, and he's been declared for that at this stage, I think he's got a very strong chance on form, but he also has the option on Friday of the Edward the VII. And I think Dear Old Gabriel for Richard Fahey, 33-1 for the Royal Hunt Cup. He might run well each way, might just sneak a place late on.
Yeah, I think we're taking each other on the Hunt Cup.
Yeah, you fancy one in that, don't you?
My main bet of the week at the moment, anyway, is Firmament in the Hunt Cup. He's been supported anti-post. I think he's still around 16-1, maybe 20-1 in places, but I think everything's gone right for him so far this season. He ran a good race in the Victoria Cup on the wrong side and up to a mile, hopefully, with fingers crossed, on decent enough ground. I think he could run a big race in the Hunt Cup, but at the end of the day, it is a Hunt Cup.
Yeah, as we said earlier, with the straight track, you do need that little bit of luck with draw, play, position, etc. But you've beaten the odds with that when it sounds, so good luck with that. I hope he does the business for you.
I was saying, you can't eat value. Is that the saying?
Oh, yeah, but if you, I'm a lot older than you, and I've been backing horses for a long time. If you just back short priced horses and you don't look for value, you will lose.
I'll lose anyway.
No, I bet you don't.
I'll get that done, don't you worry. Are you down at Royal Ascot next week?
Yeah, I'm off first thing Monday morning.
Are you there all week? Or?
I'm going for the first 3 days.
I'm there Thursday, so I may bump into you at some point.
Oh, right. Oh, lovely. Okay, yeah.
That's,
hope so.
That's my one day of the week. Just to round up, your go on.
The two tips for the weekend. Rathbone in the 440 at York, number 6. And number 3, Dark Pearl in the 535 at Sandown. Mm-hmm. They're the two for Saturday.
The two for Saturday. And next week I won't be here. It'll be Bobby Beavers once again.
Mr. Beavers is back, but I really enjoyed my two stints with you. Hopefully you'll join us again at some stage in the near future.
Yeah, we'll have to get Bobby married once again at some point. Once this one gets bored of him.
What a thought.
There can't be another one out there, surely. But Jim, thank you very much for your company.
A pleasure, Luke. Same to you. I really enjoyed yours.
Thank you for listening as well here on Proper Sport Radio. This was the Racing Roundup. We'll be back next Thursday in the hands of Bobby Beavers.